Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so, as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course. And we can't wait to see you there.
Here we are, Will. This is our last, at least we think it is our last. We don't know though. This is our getting started video. How to get started with evidence-based management.
All good things come to an end, and hopefully the end of this series is the start of your EBM adventure. And yeah, who knows? If people like this, we might do similar series in the future, potentially on EBM, potentially on different topics. But yeah. For now, let's close this chapter.
Yeah, and I think the best way to close this chapter, Will, would be to look at this picture we've been building. Look at all the notes that we have here. And we will make this available. We'll throw a PDF and a PNG out there so that you can kind of zero in and look at this. You know, we started the series by talking about evidence and the key value areas and key value metrics. And then we went into goals, strategic, intermediate, immediate, tactical. We had a lot of deep conversations there. And then we were just kind of jamming on empiricism and how that works. So really, what do you do with all this information, Will? How do I take this into my organization today and get started?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's challenging, right? Because EBM can be really overwhelming if you want to do everything at once, right from the start. So, I think the first thing that you can do, and where I usually start, is I use it as just kind of a health check, mm-hmm. right? If I look at what we're doing today through the framework, what's already in place, mm-hmm. right? What are we measuring now, and what KVAs do they fit in? Do we have a strategic goal or an intermediate goal or an immediate tactical goal that we're working towards? And do I see the link between those two, right? And usually that leads to interesting insights like, hey, we actually have 12 intermediate goals that we're working towards with this one team. Mm-hmm. Right. And usually
I've also seen it none. Yeah. And it's either 12 or none.
Yeah. Right. And that allows you to start having some targeted conversations. Right. Without mentioning EBM, because jargon can really work against you. Right. But asking that question of, hey, it looks like we're chasing 12 things at once. Are they really equally important, or do we have something in here that's more important? Or, hey, we have this thing that we're going towards, but actually I have no idea what I'm doing this week and how that relates to that intermediate or that strategic goal. Or, hey, we're measuring a ton of things with regards to our time to market, but how valuable is the work that we're doing?
Yeah.
And what are we capitalizing on?
Yeah, it's I like the direction that you're taking it, because here's what I found. The goals conversation is quite tough, right? When you start asking about goals, maybe not immediate tactical, but you start poking around intermediate goals and strategic goals, you're going up the chain in your organization. Yeah. And if they don't exist, or if there's a multiple in flight, it can be perceived as a threatening conversation. And that threatening conversation is oftentimes not a productive conversation, right? And so I think that starting with what you have now, building from the inside out is a potentially good way to do it. I'm not saying the only way to do it, but it's certainly for me, from my vantage point, I've started too quickly and too fast in the past with evidence-based management. And to be utterly clear, it was counterproductive, yeah. Right? When I would lay out the KVAs, I'd start asking very hard, pointed questions about goals, and there would be a visceral reaction oftentimes between middle to upper management. I've been called into offices. I've been asked why I'm asked like threatening positions, which I'm not. I was just asking questions. Like, so I think with the warning of, I'm going to put a warning sticky on here, is that start with what you have. I really like that. Start with what you have now and build from the inside out. Rushing this can be counterproductive, right? So I'm going to put like a warning. Going too fast can be counterproductive.
Yep.
Can be, but that might be the approach you need to take.
That's true. That's true. Recognize the opportunity that's there, right? You can try to look at the organization that you have now and the projects or products that you have in flight right now and see, okay, can I put some EBM in those? But there might be an opportunity to greenfield this stuff, mm-hmm. right? If the company is launching a new initiative, or they're setting up a new department somewhere, or they're launching a new product, right? It doesn't necessarily even have to be software. It could be some sort of HR initiative to, you know, for remote working, right? But recognizing the opportunity of, hey, you know, this could be a really good point to just start doing EBM right from the start without having to deal with all the existing cruft. Mm-hmm. That might actually be a much better use of your time than trying to introduce it into existing processes, right? Because yeah. What you're trying to do when you get started with EBM is you are trying to build a case for the use of EBM in your organization, mm-hmm. right? The benefits that you get out of this must be greater, proven to be greater than the pain it's going to cause as you introduce empiricism. And it's always going to introduce pain.
Yeah. You know, I would actually counter that a bit. I don't know that you're building the case to use EBM. I think that you're building the case to put a lens on things that are oftentimes dark corners of your organization. And like you said, that causes pain. Because, you know, as the saying goes, let's address the elephant in the room. That elephant might have been there for a really long time. I think of products that I've been on and started to use EBM with that have been in flight for 3 years, only to realize that there is no unrealized value left. There never was. And we've completely gone in a different direction than what the initial ROI promised. Right. And we've lost sight of that. I was working. I've told you this many times. I was working in this instance where I started asking questions about the initial strategic goal of a product, and the initial strategic goal was forgotten 3 years, millions of dollars later, when I resurfaced it, it was a big uh-oh. that was when I was referencing it being something that was perceived as a threatening conversation. It wasn't. I was just asking questions about goals, and I was asking questions about how we measure the initial promise of the return on investment of a goal. And we were nowhere close to it. That program was nowhere close to the initial return on investment there. So I do really like your advice. I think that the greenfield opportunity allows us to put a lens on it through evidence-based management in an organization that may not be accustomed to it. So if you can find it here, people might say, this is a really good way of looking at things. Maybe we should do that over here on this thing that's been in flight for 2 years, right? That's going to be more painful.
Exactly, right? Try to create pool in all these in all these things. And to your point of, you know, we're trying to shine a lens or some light into dark corners of the organization and ignored corners, is there's also, I found a history in many organizations where they've also convinced themselves that there are things that cannot be measured, or at least cannot be measured well, right? Like the return on investment that you get out of teams, for example, or individual features within products, especially in bigger organizations, right? Where you might have teams that deliver just one big feature as part of a larger software suite, and to then say, well, I want to look at what the current value is that that this team is producing, and what the unrealized value is of this particular feature that this team is tasked to maintain. They may go like, that's impossible, right? So it's not just things that they don't want to measure, is you are going to have to look into things that people are going to tell you can't be measured and can't be looked at and don't make sense, right? So when you get started, right, consider, and this is going to sound a bit strange coming from two people that just told you that transparency is your friend, but consider starting up in a little bit of a stealth mode. Right, go try it out, go see what you find, go experiment and do some things, because if you're going to go very bombastic right from the start, you are going to run into a wall of skepticism and might get shot down before it even takes off.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way of looking at it. maybe it is for your own information, so that you can yourself develop good questions that you can start asking, because that's what this is all about. And, you know, I think I want to make this some very tactical advice, right? So I think it is okay to start with the KVAs. I think it's very natural. It's an easier conversation than the goals. Do not forget the goals, because the goals are absolutely important, because your KVAs and what you're measuring are completely irrelevant if you don't have good goals.
Yeah.
But I do think that you have data where you are now. I think that you can probably fairly easily figure out what data you have that you can map into the KVAs, right? And then from there, you can find some gaps, like you were mentioning current value, right? What if we don't have anything in production measuring the usage of features? That's worth an investment, right? But yeah. It's worth an investment. Maybe it's an investment in different tools that you have. Maybe it's an investment in adding a little bit of code to figure that out, right? If you're software. Otherwise, how do you measure your product success? Figure that out. So I do think very tactically, looking at the four KVAs and mapping in KVMs that you may have now and figuring out where there's gaps. Maybe that's one, I don't want to say the only strategy, but I think that could be a very useful strategy getting started. And then you build, that's where I was saying inside out, I think that would probably be an approach. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah. And tugging on that thread, right? There's a few measures that, unless your company is completely freewheeling things without any sort of software or tooling support, is you will always be able to derive flow metrics to segment. They may not be the greatest quality, but they'll always be there. So you will have an insight into time to market. Along that same line, you can measure innovation rate, right? And stabilization rate in the ability to innovate KVA. Those two metrics are going to be available, or at least at the drop of a hat, you'll be able to derive them. That can very easily open up a productive conversation on here's how we're doing internally. What is that getting us in terms of current value and unrealized value? Right. Mm-hmm. And that might open up that conversation to what you said, Todd, to measuring feature usage in production, or even going out and having a chat with customers and seeing what features they're missing or what features they're particularly happy with or how happy overall they are with their product.
Yeah, I like that, Will, because I think that these are two that organizations tend to really focus on. Right. And then so maybe another piece of advice is to figure out which KVA is the focus right now. I was mentioning this in the goals video, and most of the time there isn't balance, and I think that's okay. But where are we focused right now? And what are the consequences of that focus, right? I think in broader terms, most organizations that we talk to, I would say maybe 60% are here, right? This is what they're looking at, time to market. And when you're exclusively looking at time to market, there can be both positive and negative consequences to that. And so I put a thing here, what are we missing? Find good questions to ask. Maybe if we're entirely focused on time to market and flow metrics, our ability to innovate is terrible, or our current customers are unhappy, right? Let's start maybe figuring out which one we're focused on and ask some questions based off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have the benefit of a project brief, for example, or a business case, then you should be able to derive a current value measure from it, or an unrealized measure, value measure from it, because back from when I worked in project-driven organizations and occasionally had to pitch a business case as part of that process, it's a part of that. It has to be mentioned what you're trying to achieve and what the outcome is that they're being strived for. Now, it's usually forgotten, unfortunately, but it's there. And so the documentation tends to be there to fill in either the unrealized value or the current value or both to some extent. And then that can lead you to ask the question of, well, okay, if this is what we're aiming for, do we know what that is right now? Right. And if we don't, and we're 3 months in, 6 months in, shouldn't we invest a little bit of time to figure out if we're actually getting close to the business case that someone signed off on? Right. And that's not a super challenging, that can be a challenging conversation, but it's not going to be a conversation that is perceived as politically challenging. Right, because you're standing up for the people that are invested in what you're doing, that have made the choice for that investment. So it puts you on their side.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, because I think I've gone the opposite direction a few times. So, I think I can summarize everything that we're saying here, and maybe it'll be funny. Don't implement EBM using waterfall, right? Is that good? Start small. It shouldn't be hard to get started. You could probably get started right now in a half an hour, right? Even if it's getting one KVM under each KVA, even if it's getting one KVM under one KVA, it's not going to be perfect. There is no such thing as perfect. Get started a little bit. Start asking questions and build upon it, right? Build upon it with all the other things that we talked about when we talked about you can change measurements, you can change goals, right? Just know where you are now and build upon it and know that it is always going to adapt. And I think we arrived on something when we were talking last time about changing goals. This should be something that you should inspect in a month or less all the time based off of the context of your situation. Well, I think you gave some good advice. If your product, this is weekly. Right. If your portfolio or organizational, no longer than a month. So I'm going to highlight this one. Don't implement EBM using waterfall. Perfect is the enemy of good enough.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's the end of this show.
It is. Yeah. I guess until next time, unless we end up doing more videos after this and our tugging goodbye is not relevant anymore, we'll say thanks for checking out this series. We had a blast doing it. Will and I are very passionate about evidence-based management, and we really wish you the best of luck. Tell us your stories. Let us know what's happening.
Yes, please, right? Because we're throwing this out there, and we're hoping it has an effect. But unless you actually come and talk to us on LinkedIn or in the comments or some other channel, then, well, we don't know, right? So without you, we can't measure the success of this.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. By the way, one thing we can measure under current value is how many of you are watching this. So we pay attention to how many people are viewing the playlist. We get a lot of inboxes, a lot of questions. Please continue the engagement. I guess so long. Thanks for checking out our series.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!